CliffCentral.com.
Delamitri, roll to me, CliffCentral.com. It is just after 7 o'clock, and we have much to discuss today. We've got Sia Sangweni, we've got Alan Ford, we've got me and you. And I got a few emails that I also want to make my way through because people are starting their year on the right foot. I got this. Okay, so let's have a look at this. This is really, it's quite a long email. It's from a listener. That's their actual surname, Sia. Listener. A listener. A listener says, thanks for the great show. You guys are great, blah, 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 blah. You mentioned companies using our data a few times and the migration of people from WhatsApp to Telegram, etc. most recently. Now, I don't know if you saw this story just before we carry on to that email, but apparently the numbers of people moving to Telegram are just extraordinary. Something like 5 or 25 or could even be 30 million people.
25 million in the past 72 hours.
And those numbers are just astronomical. People moving to Telegram and Signal and all the rest. But let me finish with this email and then we can discuss it a little bit. The most common comment being, meh, they would only be bored to death monitoring insignificant old me. But I think we're not thinking big enough. I doubt that we know what the possibilities and capabilities of big data are. I never imagined that my civil rights would be stripped away overnight, worldwide at that, and it doesn't look like this is going away anytime soon. I'm not even angry anymore. Maybe I'm just getting used to the feeling of powerlessness. As they say, barking dogs can't stop a train. I realized how events I have only read about in history books could have unfolded, and how easily it could have happened. For example, think of the Karens who do report neighbors to the Stasi in East Germany. And that did happen. You know, that was how the Stasi, who were the secret police in Germany, would find out that people were breaking rules or that they were reading material that was banned or whatever it was. And East Germany, they would just pitch up in a van, they'd abduct you, and you'd never be seen again. And it would be because your neighbor had reported you to the police, and we see this stuff happening. The big tech companies deplatform people, delete videos, manipulate timelines, etc. There isn't a free market in this because they've all banded together to make an app unavailable in the form of Parler. How can I not mention politicians, pharmaceutical companies, etc.? So what can they do with big data? It's all looking very ominous. So maybe history repeats itself again with a tech upgrade, and one day in the future, people will have to fight for what we have given up so easily. That is from a listener. I just thought that was a really interesting series of points that that person makes. P.S. I had to Google the spelling of Stasi and started off with Nazi Germany and then realized they came after the war. I guess I'm on someone else's radar now. I should have used DuckDuckGo instead of Google. And Sia, please keep on singing, they say. Don't you worry about the naysayers. Someone likes your singing, Sia.
Thank you. A listeners on my side then.
All right. So, I mean, I almost think it's kind of been discussed already, but Al, are you going to Signal or Telegram, or do you not care what information they have of yours?
You know, it's firstly, if you're doing something wrong, you should be worried about what information they have of yours. I mean, you know, I was watching those congressional hearings with the guys from Facebook And you saw quite a lot of interesting things about how much information they may have on you. And yeah. Big Brother yeah. is watching mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, sure.
The question is, if they're going to find out anyway. So Karen's going to get into the bush, you see. This bush is not going anywhere.
No. Okay.
But Karen was going to come into a bush anyway. And he's going to come and take pictures. Look for what you want. And if you're hiding something, then generally it's going to – but you know what? Everyone has a right to do their thing and to mind your business. So with our Telegram, I must tell you, I do find it quite – it's quite old school and quite beautiful in some sense. I mean, you know, from – but I'm just saying – I'm not even going to have technology. I don't know how to count. So that's a whole nother story.
Now – I mean, you know, there's this thing with Telegram, which a lot of people are talking about, where apparently you can find out, you know, you can join a group on Telegram. Now, I haven't got Telegram, I've got Signal. But apparently, if your location isn't turned off, there's this feature called People Nearby, which allows you to see nearby groups. And these groups could be And let me just read some of the names because this is hilarious. These are the groups. A friend of mine, there's a group called Let's Get
Sounds like Tinder.
Listen to this, L. There's a group called Let's Get Naked. On this person.
Oh, I like that group.
But there are only three members. So I don't know if that's any good. There's a Lift Club group. There's a group called For the Love of Food with only one member in it.
Right. I guess.
And then this is interesting. Here's a group called Married But Available. How do you like that?
Ooh. How many people are on that one?
Only three.
So Gareth, you have to forgive me.
Yeah.
Please forgive me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Telegram was an app.
Okay. What did you think?
I thought it was an old Telegram.
You really are old.
I really thought it was something romantic. So please forgive me. I've made an error. I didn't know about that. I do want to come to that naked group for a moment. I did a story.
Yeah.
On what they call it. You're a naturist, or you're a
yes. The nudists. They're nudists.
Correct. And so I went and I filmed for CakeNet actually up close to Pretoria, a nudist colony. Yes, and I actually got great photos. Facebook kicked me off when I took pictures, and I did post it.
You had permission from the nudists themselves.
Oh yes, to take the pictures. Oh. I was filming at the nudists, you know.
Okay.
So, firstly, couple of interesting things about a nudist colony. Number one, a lady always has to sit on a blanket because something leaves certain parts.
Goes in.
Number one. Okay. Number two is that it's not used as a sexual thing. It's there just for enjoy the expression of your body. But I must tell you, I was there to also look what was happening in terms of all these people are like over 50,
yeah,
fat and falling to pieces. So don't join those groups.
So you're saying it's not
falling
worth,
into pieces.
You're saying it's not worth, not worth joining nudists, Al.
So in the next 5 years, maybe I'll join. But because I'm fat and I'll be over 50. But it's not pretty. It really isn't. I'll be honest. It's not pretty.
Al, what do they explain the thrill to be? They just feel confined by clothes?
No, it's not a thrill, actually. It's a part of being, it's being natural and being able to swim and be able to walk around comfortably. And it's more of a state of being than it's really, most of it's not sexual. It's not a sexual thing. It's actually, it broke the rules of the colony. So people go there and of all races and all sizes and all sexualities, they go there and they literally will go for a weekend or they'll get a holiday home. They actually have holiday homes that you can build there. And then you go and you so you work for the bank. Let's say you work for Investec.
Right.
And then you go to Investec and you work and then you get into your car and like you would go to the beach or you go fishing in Dahlstrom or fly fishing. You go to your nudist house where you're just naked all the time.
Hmm.
And you invite your naked friends to be with you. That's it. But it really was a fascinating story.
Very, very interesting hobbies people have. I mean, obviously there's some part of it that you can kind of understand because we never, in the early days of humanity, I doubt that we wore clothes, right? We were like other animals. You just had your skin and maybe some hair and that's all you had. And maybe that was the way it was intended in the beginning, but obviously we've moved on, you know? I mean, dogs wear collars even. And you could say that's a very strange way of looking at the world, but if it makes them feel good, if it makes them feel closer to nature, if it makes them feel free, then why the hell not?
I get how things happened way back when, but this is the year 2021, and I would not want my banker to walk around naked. Like, I can't take my banker seriously if you were or she were to tell me that. Like, no.
But see, it's like us. We don't want you to sing, but you still do it.
Well, I've seen a lot of these nudists on TV shows and all the rest of it. I've never been to a nudist colony, and I believe there's one in Umhlanga. I haven't seen it, but someone told me that if you walk far enough down the beach, then you encounter a nudist colony, and I very much doubt that they're going to be people with great bodies who are young and you know, who work out every day, I think it's probably going to be kind of people in their 50s and 60s who are nudists, who are naturists, who are these people who like to, So it's not good. You mustn't think that this is going to turn you on. This is going to be some kind of a, you didn't walk around going, oh, this is amazing, I want to come back, right, Al?
You know, the interesting thing was that they because I asked the question, I actually went with my presenter, Eloise Cupido. And you know, Eloise is quite coy and loud, but a bit confused. But the whole thing is, Gareth, so when you, that one in Umhlanga is where they go and they tent for a small period of time. It's not an actual colony. This is a place where they actually have holiday homes, where there's a proper shop in this. In, so you go into these gates and you actually go into a into an estate.
Oh, wow.
Where people live. Yeah. And so, and it has a river and has a stream and it's got a swimming pool area. And so it's a proper, and maybe it's interesting. Maybe we should go there. Maybe we should do a morning show from there.
You can do it.
No, thanks.
Okay. I'm not that excited. I mean, I wouldn't mind speaking to the people who go there, but I don't need to experience it. So, Sinclair says, I went to a nude spa in Austria a few years ago. Full of naked old fat men and nubile young women. Super creepy. Got goated so badly by an old man in a hammock.
What's goated?
I don't know what goated means. So explain what that is, please.
Do I have to Urban Dictionary it?
Yeah, Urban Dictionary goated. Let's see what that is. Karina says, with regard to the WhatsApp Telegram conversation, the thing is that WhatsApp knows that they will lose market share when the new T's and C's are announced. They must have known about it and must have made it part of their cost-benefit analysis. Despite this calculation, they still figured it would be to their advantage to go ahead with the new terms. Why should media companies make money on my data and not me? At least when we go to the grocery store and the pharmacy, they pretend to incentivize us with points for seeing our purchasing. I have nothing to hide when it comes to my data, but why would I not earn something for sharing my own data? I'm happy to leave WhatsApp. Let it be a lesson to them. There are people leaving. Apparently also it's a lot of older people who are leaving. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, at the end of the day, we still, I think WhatsApp is a very good way to communicate. And it's a very cost-effective way for a lot of people to communicate in this country. And while groups can be very annoying, it's a nice way to also speak to people that you and to keep connected. I've got a friends group called it's called the Thirsty
Club. The Thirsty Club.
So the Thirsty, you know, like
sure.
From schools, all the school, my school friends, and but the stuff that they put on this thing. My goodness, that nudist colony's got nothing on that. I've never seen more vagina in my life as a gay man. I'm serious. I've never seen so much straight porn in the history of the world that's happening on this.
Are you on any neighborhood groups or any of that shit? Because those are the worst.
I'm not, no. But I am on many family groups and business groups. And but you've got to be careful that you don't send the naughty stuff to the family group. And then
but remember, remember that did happen with that woman in what's that, Schweizer Reinecke. And she,
yes.
she thought she was putting, Margaret. She thought she, yeah, Margaret, she thought she was putting a picture of herself naked onto her husband's WhatsApp, but she was actually putting it on the hockey group, which is all the hockey moms. And she had to, I think she had to leave the town because.
Oh, Margaret.
Yeah. Listen, so I want to come back to a point that we opened the show with, Gareth.
Yeah.
We discussed this, because we've been in lockdown, we can't date. If you try to not, you shouldn't be engaging with people. You shouldn't. I mean, if you're Tinder dating, you're kind of stupid. If you're grindering, you're really stupid. Besides from the COVID, the HIV and that other nonsense that you can get from it. But so you have to start, and I actually did a feature on, which will be in one of the upcoming episodes, on how to keep your sex life alive through technology.
Okay. So tell us about this. How do you advise?
All right. So here's
– you become an expert now, Alan. Tell us.
So Dr. Elna McIntosh,
yes, we
top
know
medical doctor.
We know Elna. Elna's terrific. She's really good at this.
She's Absolutely. So, but she couldn't do it. She says she's too old and she's too wrinkly. So she sent a young, wonderful, brilliant medical doctor. Mm-hmm. So, Gareth, a lot of people live in different cities. And, for example, let's say myself and Jack were dating and I'm having to work in Cape Town for 2 weeks and he's in Johannesburg. Now, I don't want it. I don't want to have an open relationship. I want to still keep my sex life alive. So this is what stuff, but do you see it? Okay, we can practice later if you want.
No.
So
it's a joke.
I love making it like, but you can have your self enjoyment time on FaceTime with your partner. Okay, it is very nice to find friends that you have good relationships with
and friends.
Stay in your hotel room and enjoy each other sexually over FaceTime. And so it's
many,
a good way
how many
to do this.
How many slots do you have open today, Al?
Yes.
At 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. But
as you go in the orifice.
But there's something great into what that lady was doing. And so we actually brought that particular Margaret lady up from Swazaranica. And she was sending her husband a nudie or a sexually provocative picture or video. And, you know, isn't it a nice way to keep the spark alive that you kind of have this – it's almost like back in the 90s when people would say, how do you keep the spark alive? And they said, well, go off to a bar as a married couple and pretend that you've met for the first time. And, and I am Federico from Spain and you are Mary from Sweden, and then, you know, and so this is what we used to talk about. And so things have changed in this regard. So enjoying one another over FaceTime, I know it's weird. Sometimes you have to get used to it. See, we'll practice later. I love it. Love blushing. The guy blushed. But you end up having quite a lot of fun, and there's lots of websites that you can see people on the world, and you can also do this if you want. Zuck, if you, yeah, you can do, you can have amorous discussions, video discussions, and that type of stuff. It is healthy.
I have a friend who has, over the past couple of months, and she's still in the dating world, et cetera, has been so serious and made such a concerted effort on looking good in, you know, sexting and naked FaceTimes and whatnot. And she says with full confidence, so that if anything ever leaks, it must be like porn star level. And I thought, okay, that is actually such a good thing. You know what? You never know in the 21st century. Even if you love someone and trust them now, something can leak, something can spread, they can send it to the wrong person. So she says, you know what? Screw it. If it were to leak, let them at least say, wow, she looked good. Her hair was great. She had gorgeous lingerie. And I say, good for people like that.
All right, okay. Yeah. I mean, may as well.
But let's look at this technically. Okay, all you've got to do, instead of taking the phone that's looking at your face, is turn it around. They ain't going to see your face.
Alan, there's everything, though. They screenshot your name. And
listen, what I'm saying, if you're single and it's okay with your – even if you're together and it's okay with your partner, hey, if you want to do something and keep it safe, why not do it like that? And I must tell you, this not only this medical doctor who specializes in sexuality and is a sexologist spoke to this fact and said it's a good way to keep the relationship alive.
No,
it's a great way to keep it. And isn't it better than going out there, even as a single person, hooking up with somebody for one night and possibly getting syphilis, gonorrhea, HIV, and the list goes on.
Okay, Dr. Allen.
Mr. Schmangel says, I just checked the groups in Telegram in my area, and I found one called Fat and Fabulous. I wonder how fat you have to be in that group. Maybe there's...
Ooh, can I do it?
Sila says, they've been using Telegram for the past 2 years, but lots of paranoid people of no interest are starting to loiter into Telegram. Yeah, apparently also one of the reasons that old people are moving to Telegram and Signal is because the neighborhood groups are all moving there as well, the security and neighborhood groups, those ones that we were talking about just now being rude about. Okay, so here's what goating is. You wanted to know what goating is. So Sinclair says his back was facing me and he was lying down, but his balls were sticking back through his legs behind his bum. Apparently, that's what goating is.
Okay. Gareth, and part of what you were saying earlier about the updates from Telegram. So yeah, just to recap it slightly, Telegram has announced that they have 25 million new registered users in the past 72 hours.
Sure.
And Telegram is proud of this. Yes, they've been around since 2013. They say they have over 500 million monthly active users in the first weeks of Jan this year. And their speciality, which they're boasting about even more right now, is the fact that since they came about 7-8 years ago now, they refused to cooperate with any authorities and hand over any encryption keys. And as a result, over the past 8 years, they've actually been banned in several countries, even including Russia, where the founders are from.
Hmm.
So last year, Russia announced that it will lift its ban on Telegram, finally, after more than 2 years of unsuccessful attempts to block it.
I like the idea of supporting smaller startups than these big tech companies, which frankly I have no love for. So if you can get off of Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram and all the rest of it and find alternatives, then I suppose, yeah, if you're the kind of person who wants to support the smaller startups, good. But the problem is obviously that a lot of the people that you know are not on those platforms. Yeah. So then you got to persuade them to come there as well. And I mean, I'm not going to tell every one of my contacts, guys, I'm moving to Telegram, otherwise you can't get hold of me, or it's Signal or whatever. Mm. It's going to be a nightmare. And you're going to miss a whole lot of important information because most people are on WhatsApp, whether we like it or not. So I don't know what you got to do.
Well, take this with a pinch of salt, because also with this big brouhaha over the past couple of days, WhatsApp has now released a statement defending themselves. And they say these are the five things that they will not be able to, that they aren't able to do, and they still will not be able to do, even with sharing data with Facebook. They say, and they'll maintain, that they can't see your private messages or hear your calls. They say they can't keep track of your calls or messages. They say they can't identify your shared location, share your contacts with Facebook, nor can they see into your group chats, and all of those will remain private. Whether you believe them or not, now that's a different story.
Well, I suppose. You know, it depends on your level of paranoia. Tracy's having fun. In fact, everybody's now hopping onto Telegram just to see what the groups in their area are. Tracy says she's just checked, and there's a group in her area called Prostitutes for You. I suppose you also find out how filthy your area is and how many perverts live in your neighborhood if you go on there and you check out your groups nearby.
Prostitutes for You.
Okay. Yeah, Prostitutes for You, Al.
I like how direct all of these people
are. Well, I mean, but you know, those could be people that just need to make a buck on the side and are just normal people. They just want to be a prostitute for a day. I mean, Karen, who's in the bush, thinks I'm a prostitute. Let's go with it.
I mean, a hooker or a murderer.
So here's an interesting point from Johan. Johan says he's been following that Margaret from Schweizer Reneker story. Apparently, she did not intend to send the pic to her husband, and apparently they're divorced now. That's very sad. I don't know if it's any of our business, but I kind of feel sorry for them nonetheless.
I remember when we did that story, when we looked at it some time back, it was meant for her husband. Because she says his name in the thing. Why would she send her nudies to her hockey girls group?
Yeah.
Well, it's a hockey girls group, so maybe there's something. I don't know.
Oh, that'll be great. We're going to check in with Sean Sanders in a moment or two and find out what's going on with investment, and particularly what's happening in the crypto market, what's happening with gold. So stick around for that. We've got Alan Ford with us this morning, and we can take your messages and your calls on 0797482090. Tell us what you're up to and tell us what's on your mind this morning. There are also a couple of other things that we have to get to this morning, and it is a Wednesday, so tomorrow's the burning platform. Get ready for that. Al, I believe you're also paying attention. What's wrong?
Sorry, I was going to say, we also have a TV show airing tonight.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah, let's just
promote
that.
It's a great TV show.
So tonight, we have the inaugural panel, the people we had on our first show ever. So that's Sihle Ngobese, Big Daddy Liberty. We've got Pumi Mashiho, who you know well from the Burning Platform, and she'll be on the show with us tomorrow as well, but she's on this evening. And we have Jeremy Thompson from Sky News. And the three of us discuss, you know, where we are and how things have changed in the last year. And I think it could give you a little bit of perspective. So it'll be fun if you join us this evening at 8:30 on ENCA. Also, Dr. D makes an appearance where she's going to tell us about how to help ourselves to deal with the emotional and mental fallout of the last couple of months and what that's done to people. So if you're interested in those things, and they're all interesting, then you must make an appointment. Set a little alarm on your phone right now and watch the show live. And I say watch the show live because I don't want you to record it and watch it later. It doesn't work for us. We don't get the ratings. Right, Al?
100%. And that being said, also, at 10 o'clock, I'm interviewing Dr. D today. So she's working harder than ever.
She's busy.
Working harder than ever and helping people with their mental health more than ever before. So
yeah.
Kudos to Dr. Dorywill.
Lots more people who need it at the moment. One thing we also need is some guidance because the markets are crazy at the moment. The crypto market has had anything but a quiet time recently, and there is so much going on. But we can always rely on Sean Saunders from Revix to break things down for us with another update. How are you doing, Saunders?
Hey, guys. Yeah, good. Thanks, and you?
Awesome. So tell us, dude, first of all, everybody's talking about whether or not they sold at the right moment with Bitcoin, and the price has gone from, like, I think it was $40,000 at one point to $33,000 now. What do you attribute all of this to? Is there any explanation for this?
Well, this is the first week where I get to come on this podcast and say that the market isn't at a new all-time high. Every week that I was coming on here, it was just a new all-time high, a new all-time high. So, I mean, it was bound at some point in time to pull back a bit. I mean, it's pulled back 20%. Corrections are generally healthy in any bull market. As we've said before, you need to look at the longer-term trend of crypto and the amount of money moving into the space. It's still phenomenal. And what's quite interesting as well is if you look at the market, the crypto market, you've got the retail market, so retail investors being everyday people like you and I, and then you've got the institutional market and professional traders, and the professional traders are given a lot of leverage when they trade in this market. And what happens essentially is that they sort of overlever themselves in either direction. So what happened yesterday U.S. time, there was 318,000 positions liquidated worth $2.5 billion in the crypto space. And what this essentially means is that there's various traders that were long and they had taken a lot of leverage to go long, and the market started to turn on them. And the trading exchanges that they're using, they require them to have margin calls. So they've got to keep a set amount of capital in their account in order to maintain their position, and they start going into losses. And when they don't have enough capital, they have to close their position. And this forces them to sell into the market. And that means that there's a really violent pullback, and that's what we've experienced now.
You know, there's another explanation someone gave to me, and it sounds quite sensible. I mean, this is really a common sense thing more than the technical explanation that you've just given now, which obviously also makes sense. But that is that a lot of people went back to work on Monday, including a lot of traders who have maybe been on holiday, and they went back to work and suddenly decided they're going to either buy or sell certain things. And many of them may have decided to sell Bitcoin because it's been doing so well. Why the hell not cash out now?
Without a doubt. I think that's happened, and you've seen this decent pullback. I mean, across the board, you saw about $150 billion get pulled out of the crypto market, which is a sizable amount of money. I mean, it's $150 billion. Just, you don't need to say that twice. You
know? So if Bitcoin has come down by, what, 20% or so, then what has happened to Ethereum, which you were very bullish about just a couple of days ago? What do you think is going to go? What direction do you think that's going to move in? Again, this is all speculation and not financial advice, by the way.
Yeah. So you've seen the interest in Ethereum increase substantially over the last while, and the move from sort of a focus on Bitcoin only. So it was 2020 was a Bitcoin only trade. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ethereum actually outperformed Bitcoin. You had other cryptocurrencies like Link, Cardano, et cetera, that actually outperformed Bitcoin. But the amount of money moving into Bitcoin relative to the market capitalization of Bitcoin relative to other cryptocurrencies, it was like night and day. It was completely different. And now that's starting to change. You're seeing a lot of institutional interest sort of trickle down, start looking at Ethereum, start looking at cryptocurrencies that are up and coming. And I think that's because Bitcoin's almost looking like a crowded trade at this point in time. Not to say that you can't make money.
Sorry, just say
crowded
that,
trade
that,
in the sense that
you're going to have to repeat that whole thing because there was a bit of buffering there. So just say that again.
No worries. So for a lot of institutional investors, Bitcoin seems like a bit of a crowded trade. It seems like a lot of people have got into this, and you know the retail money's moved into Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is sort of like the gateway drug. It's where a lot of people start in crypto and then they move out into the alternative cryptocurrencies.
Right.
And if you're looking at sort of the market capitalization of Bitcoin relative to other cryptocurrencies, it hit an all-time high just 2 weeks ago. Hit an all-time high being that Bitcoin's dominance, the proportion of the market that Bitcoin makes up relative to other cryptocurrencies, hit 72%. And I mean, that just shows that, you know, there's a lot more capital being allocated to Bitcoin relative to other cryptos. So there is a lot of potential upside for Ethereum. Can I say that, you know, can ETH go up 50 to 100%? Yes. Yeah. Can it pull back, you know, 20, 50%? Of course it can. So we're not really in the game of sort of making short-term bets here. But if you're looking at the longer-term implications, and certainly what's happened with Ethereum recently is they've gone through an upgrade where they've moved to proof of stake, which I'm not going to get into right now. But moving to proof of stake has actually moved their inflation down from about 4% to 1%. So just like you have with gold, you've got about a 2% inflation with gold every year, and Bitcoin's sitting at around a 2% inflation rate as well. ETH has actually moved down to 1%.
Okay.
Which is naturally, yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Just on a completely unrelated note, it is quite incredible what's happened to Tesla's stock price. And I was talking to some of my friends who are far more financially literate than I am. I mean, there seems to be a lot of smoke and mirrors being played here, unless they've got some incredible technology that they're holding in abeyance that they haven't told us about. There's no way to justify the kinds of incredible prices that Tesla stock has reached. Or do you think that people are just excited and hopped up on the idea of Elon Musk being the richest man in the world and the idea of electric vehicles being an obvious part of the future? Would you justify that? I mean, if you were a speculator now, would you be putting more money in, or would you be looking at it askance and go, it's time to get out of there?
So I would not put money into Tesla. I do think it's completely overvalued. I mean, it went up 7x last year. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. However, would I take a short position? Hell no. I would stay away from that stock because it is a sentiment-driven player. I mean, can this go up 1 or 2x again? Of course it can. So yeah. And that's the sort of issue with Tesla. It can move up 10, 20% in a day, and if you have a short position, you get closed out.
And how's gold doing?
Gold's actually, it had a good start to the year. It's sort of been bouncing about because of what's going on in the US. Well, the sort of joke that's going on is. Yeah. But gold's sitting at about $1,880. So it's about 1% or 2% up since the start of the year.
So I mean, you mentioned the US, but whenever politics is uncertain, and there's never been probably a more uncertain time in America than the week that people stormed the Capitol, for heaven's sake, did that not help gold, which is a safe haven traditionally, to skyrocket a little bit in the U.S. market?
It did. So initially, gold did react by increasing quite substantially. And now there's just a few questions around, okay, so is Trump going to be impeached? What are the implications of that? So there's that political risk, which naturally would see the dollar potentially weaken and therefore gold's price appreciate.
Yeah.
But yeah, none. The Democrats have a very slim majority as well. So are they going to be able to enact all the policy that they want to enact? That's the other question around this. So there's a lot of questions around gold. I mean, I think if you just you take politics out of the question and you start looking at the amount of money and the monetary stimulus that we've had, you know, injected into the system in 2020 alone, that to me is the narrative enough for gold, for Bitcoin, for ETH, for all the other cryptocurrencies out there as well. So looking for hard assets, property, trying to stay out of the soft and even stocks. I mean, that's why you're seeing stock markets at all-time highs as well.
Well, you know what to do. Head along to revix.com and you can find out for yourself what their different offerings are. So you don't have to put your life savings into it. Just try it out, $500 or so, and you can start opening up your own portfolio. You can buy some crypto assets. You can buy into their various portfolios that track things like the smart contract bundle, for example, or Pax Gold, which deals with gold. And if you want to find out more, go to revix.com. They're also on all the social media. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Hope you have a really good rest of the day.
Thank you.
And just a little fact of the day as well. Do you know that if Bitcoin hits $54,000, right, which isn't too far away from where it is now,
yeah,
that means it's going to make up 10% of gold's market cap. And this is an asset that was worth 1 cent 12 years ago. I mean, how remarkable is that?
I saw a thing where a guy offered to pay for a house in Bitcoin. I don't know if you saw this. This has been going around on social media. I have no reason to not believe it. But some dude bought a very expensive house in America. And the guy who was buying, who was paying for the house said, listen, I'll pay you in Bitcoin. And it was a substantial amount of Bitcoin, like 50,000 Bitcoin or something. And the guy's like, no. I'd rather just take the cash, which I suppose for a house might have been a sensible decision at the time. If he'd taken the Bitcoin... I mean, it would have been incredible. The guy would be a millionaire a couple of times over, and he would have had that house that he sold paid for as well. So you never know.
Yeah, the famous other example where somebody bought a pizza. There's the famous Bitcoin Pizza Day for $22 million in today's prices. It's
unbelievable. Right. All right, Sean. Thanks, man. We'll speak to you soon.
Have a good rest of the day. Chat to you soon.
Very good. Bye. Sean Sanders, the co-founder of Revix, and you can follow him and everybody else on revix.com. Sure. Al, you got any Bitcoin?
I don't, no. But I do, after this lockdown, I am looking for many more hard assets.
Hard assets, but you're not talking about money.
No, let's not go down that road, please.
All right. So,
I wanted to ask Sean a strange question.
Uh-oh.
Does he advertise on social media?
Yeah.
Does he? No. Okay. I'm sure I'll try to like him on Tinder once. I don't know. Oh, maybe it's just the wrong dude.
Jesus.
Seriously.
Alan, your first.
Listen. He would definitely be my consultant. He's a very good looking person. I mean, you don't want an ugly person consulting to you.
Just the same way you don't want your consultants being in a nudist colony.
Well, Carl says, this is interesting. Carl says when, if you look at Tesla, it took a major hiding yesterday. Musk lost $13 billion himself. It goes to show how volatile that market is. But then, I mean, what's he going to do? It's $13 billion in paper money. It's $13 billion in the books, but it's not money he has in the bank. It's not like someone went and robbed $13 billion out of his account. And I understand, and I know Carl understands this too, but when people say you're the richest man in the world, it's because you own shares in a certain company. Now, he's not going to sell all his shares in Tesla just because he's reached the point of being the richest man in the world. Otherwise, first of all, his shares that he retains in Tesla will start to drop in value, and all the other people will panic because they'll go, well, if the CEO is dropping out his shares, then why aren't we doing the same?
Know something we don't know.
Correct. So,
well, it's any market. And it goes up, it goes down, that's where it goes.
But as Sean says, it's also sentiment driven. So who knows? Tracy says she's heard kidnappers use Bitcoin for ransom money. So in other words, if you kidnap somebody, you ask for ransom in Bitcoin. That's always useful to know. So everybody just make a note of that. If you're going to be kidnapping anybody, always ask for your ransom money in Bitcoin.
Well, that would make quite a lot of sense if you think about it, because I mean, you can't really trace it.
Yes, that's correct, Al.
That would mean I would be dead. I mean, my parents don't understand any of this, so if my kidnappers call them, they'd be like, "Nah, actually, I've had 25 years with him. He's fine."
Besides having lots of sex, what are you missing the most since lockdown?
It's not about that.
Of course, you know it's all you've spoken about all morning. What else?
No, that's the topic of the day. I made it the topic. Come on.
No,
sound like some floozy running down the street.
Karens are the other topic of the day.
I tell you, it's what am I missing? I think I'm missing... I'm missing radio because obviously, you know, I have not been able to do the show because we can't really talk about the entertainment industry. There's no music. There's no theater. There's no concerts. I'm missing that. I really am missing that. We did the Hopetober bus where we went to the streets with singing to all at the various hospitals, Gareth. It was incredible because we did a live show. A 20-minute set from hospital to hospital.
Haven't those people at the hospital suffered enough that you have to put them through that as well?
Oh, no, it was great singers. It was magnificent, Gareth. It wasn't people like Sia. It was actual proper top South African, Craig O'Barney's, the Lears, the Mortimer Williams, the top singers in South Africa on these buses. But that being said, when I was watching with the, we were watching with the nursing staff, and we saw that the amount of joy that music provides. I'm missing that. I'm missing watching a Matilda or a Rocky Horror.
How are all those friends of yours in the entertainment business doing? Because they haven't had any income for a while as well, and they live to perform. I mean, it must be extremely frustrating if that is your job and that is the thing that gives you happiness and joy in your life, and you can't do it because no one is opening theaters, they're not paying the ticket prices, and it's all good and well. People say, well, you can do a webcam thing or whatever, but who cares about that? And you're not earning money from that.
So it's interesting. A lot of people had to do things differently. There have been, obviously, I mean, Mark Lotring has done exceptionally well. For example, if you see that he sells 5,000 tickets online for a comedy show. So he's flying. People like Peter Dirk, Ace, that they're not doing too badly. But I think while you find the bigger stars like the Craig O'Barneys and the Mortimer Williams, mm-hmm. They're still keeping their heads up and they're still performing here and there. You find that the guys that are in your chorus line or your dancers that are generally in the ensemble or your orchestra guys or the sound and lighting, Gareth, these are the guys that can't use their name to go and sell or to get out there. So they have had to look for other jobs and do different things. And when we launched Hopetober, which was last year, October, it was about finding stories of people doing hope to create hope within their lives. And the interesting thing was that one of the top dancers started making Koor Sisters. Now, Koor Sisters is a Cape version of a cook sister.
Oh, I was wondering, can you say that in 2021 without being cancelled?
No, that's what it's called. And on the weekend, she sells thousands of them. And so she's doing well, keeping her head up. But some people are having these smaller, intimate dinners, well, not under the current lockdown and alcohol rules, but they're having small dinners in their home, and then celebrities like Harry Sideropoulos were cooking for you.
Okay.
And those type of things. So I think people have got to think out the box. These are creatives. And the best part about being a creative is that you can think creatively. But, yeah, it's a struggle. And that's – I miss going to watch a live concert. I miss seeing a Night of the Stars or a – I'm missing that. That's what I miss. I do miss the theater a hell of a lot. And I miss – live music and live performances, which we have been, it's been difficult to see, especially to the extent of having a magnificent performance. I miss travel. Gareth, I miss regular trips, and I'm sure you must feel this as well, and so much you see, going to New York, going to London, you know, going to those to see beautiful shows and to go and see beautiful people and to experience. But that being said, I've never loved South Africa more. I went to a place called Mahlangeni, which is on the border of the Kruger Park, a beautiful spot which I might never have experienced. I've never been to Ballito before, and I went to Ballito. I went to places in the Western Cape where I've been filming, and I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. So I'm seeing the positive in what we've got around us, and I do think we've got such wonderful tourism in this country. There's places – you know, Gareth, I stayed at the Bay Hotel, and you know we've done some shows from the Bay many years ago. And I walked in there in September, October, and they had a special rate for those rooms, which sometimes cost 3,000 or 4,000 rand for 800 rand a night. For 800 rand. So if you're gonna do something small and safe and you can get it at these particular rates, you're never gonna get, for example, people went to a place called, I've filmed them many years ago, but it's called Kapama. And I'm not doing it, but 3 or 4 months ago, they were getting specials at Game Reserve for 1,500 Rand, where it was usually 10,000 Rand.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be clever about this, you know, look at the tourism. Look at what you can do with your families. Look at what you could do for your birthday. Instead of having 50 people at a birthday party or a birthday dinner, go away and have an experience. So that's where we're lucky on one side. But on the other side, I'm missing travel. I am missing the theater, and I'm missing music. and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not missing that stuff, but then I never was really into it, so.
But you must miss travel. I mean, you must be missing travel.
You know what? Funnily enough, like, I didn't go away at all over December. I did also go to one of those private game reserves just for a weekend, which was precisely what you're talking about now. Like, their prices were really good and competitive, and I had a terrific time there, and it was absolutely beautiful, and I saw every animal that you could wish to see. And that was lovely. And other than that, I did go down to the coast in September over that long weekend. But again, it was just for a long weekend. Otherwise, not any December travels. I had a really good time at home. The weather's been amazing. It's been fantastic to just chill at home and enjoy the kind of the swimming pool and all of that stuff. But honestly, no, not really missing travel. And I'm not looking forward to traveling overseas if I have to wear masks and sanitize every 10 minutes and all of that shit. Look, if they tell me that international travel is not going to be normal again for another year, I can wait. Maybe even 2 years, I can wait.
And maybe we should wait because that's okay. But at the end, you know, it is. But it was great to be with our families, to spend more time with family, to consolidate in that space.
It's a little too soon for me to have that feeling.
Why?
I'm still on family overload.
I know you were planning to go overseas last year, and you'd booked the holiday and paid for it and everything. Did you ever get that money back?
No.
You're joking. They never paid you back?
Nothing at all, because it's part of a global company that didn't even opt for business rescue. So when you're the South African division of a company that's in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and they broke globally, who do you think you'll be? And I think I remember reading an article about this company, and they owe South Africa specifically, they owe something upwards of a little over 21 million rands. And they have in assets, and when the article first came out in their bank as well, something like 3 million rands. So they still have 19 odd million that they still have to deal with. And I'm sure, you know, their staff and paying off, you know, landlords would be prioritized first before they have to repay some people.
Jeez, I'm sorry. That's a lot of money to just see go down the loo, and obviously you hope that they'll make a plan, but that's awful. Beth says she flew to Cape Town, and the flight was frustrating, to say the least. My travel tip is to snack and drink so that you could take your mask off. Well, that's cool.
Well, you know, that's being a sneaky, Beth. That's a sneaky. Because you can, you have to, so therefore you breathe. So I did once. I took 2 bottles of water, and I'm just to get some air in. But at the end of the day, I don't want to catch this thing. So I opted rather to drive to Durban when I had a flight, by the way, because it just became too hot. Everything became too much of a hotspot. And I want to be careful. I think everyone's got to just be careful. This is a reality. I said lots of lives have been lost. And you've got to be safe. You really got to play it safe.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, there's a lot of crazy shit going down. So I know you're also interested in American politics. And
oh, Lord, that oak.
I mean, you've been, so Alan's one of those people who's been hysterical about Donald Trump, saying he's basically Hitler and he's the worst person that's ever lived. And I mean, you know, this is just Alan and I, I've known you for years, Al, and we get along really well, but I just have never, ever agreed with you politically on anything. And it's watching you melt down on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter about Donald Trump has been very amusing. I've got to tell you.
Okay. So firstly, no, you know, as a South African, you're going to love this. But finally, we can use make like Donald and duck in such a wonderful sense than ever before. Don't roll your eyes.
So cheesy. All right. Yeah, all right.
All right. So make like Donald and duck. You know, Gareth, it's not about – you and I disagree on a lot of points here, but this guy is just crazy. I mean, the man's just lost the plot. And we can see he's a narcissist. We kind of get it. But he's mad. The man is crazy. I mean, he actually still thinks he won this election. He still carries on like a complete buffoon. I mean, what happened in the storming of the Capitol, I actually happened because I was watching the television. Next thing they were, I couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it live and it was kind of crazy. When I said to the whole family, guys, come and look at this. You're not going to believe what's happening in the Capitol.
I was in bed and I was ready to get I was ready to have a nice early night, and then I started getting these messages from people like, have you seen what's happening at the Capitol? And I actually had to get up and go to the TV room and turn it on, and I sat there like in disbelief. So I know what you mean.
And you know, Gareth, you love history, and you love what these institutions all over the world represent.
Yeah.
And to see absolute, I don't want to call them animals, but like these wild, crazy humans just desecrating, taking selfies, literally throwing things, pooing on the floor, man.
What's wrong? It's a revolution.
Did someone poo on the floor?
Yes. No, really? Someone pooed on the floor. They couldn't find a toilet. Pooed on the floor. I mean, who pews on the floor?
Jesus, no.
In your Senate. I mean, come on. I mean, listen.
That's
for whatever
outrageous.
It's worth. And then this buffoon of a man stands there and says, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to lead you in this revolution.
So
and then he goes in his house and watches on television and says nothing.
Yeah.
So, Alan, do you then have renewed hope with Biden and Kamala Harris coming in with Converse sneakers and wearing Timberland boots?
Listen, it's between a rock and a hard place, because I'm just saying anything's better than this. So number one. Number two is that I've got to tell you the 40 years of experience, the good conduct and good relations he has within both the Senate and within the Congress, could play to his advantage. But here is the thing. This Trump fool and his whole bunch of delinquent family members.
Yeah.
These delinquents, all right, know nothing really about politics. So they don't understand how it works. He's never been a governor, never been a senator, never been
but you
he's
are,
never played
you
the game of politics.
You understand
so
to a lot of
you got someone experienced.
To a lot of people, that was the attractive thing about him, is that he wasn't a politician, because people are so sick of politicians. And I agree with you to some degree that he has not, and certainly his exit from politics is the most ignominious thing ever, and it's very embarrassing. It's probably going to set back the Republican Party and conservatives in general for the next 10 years. But the fact is that politicians all over the world are a deep disappointment to everybody, the experienced ones and the inexperienced ones.
I think
a lot of people are really, especially since lockdowns are kicked back in and government has actually become an important part of people's lives, which we hadn't had to worry about for a very long time. You know, government kind of moved onto the back burner and people were becoming more and more independent of the state. Now, obviously, that's not the case. And we've got Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma at the moment trying to define exactly what a beach is, because if you are, they say a beach.
Isn't she a beach?
Stay away.
I mean, a beached whale.
Even worse.
You're really going at her. It's interesting that these politicians who are hopeless at everything they do. I mean, politicians aren't even qualified for politics, because politics is basically just a popularity contest. So I've got to say, and this is a difficult thing for me to admit, because I've never felt like this in my life before. I've always been interested in politics. But having witnessed what I did last week in America, which is one of the countries that I've always been interested in, I've always marveled at their constitutional republic, the fact that the state rights balance up with the federal rights, the fact that people have – that election last year was – it could have been held in you know, a lot of much less savory countries, and I wouldn't have been surprised by the results in those countries. So I was disappointed in the election, not because someone I liked or didn't like won or lost. That wasn't the case at all. It was more that watching that craziness last week at the Capitol, and I'm sitting there watching this going, this is happening in America, the country that we've called the paragon of the free world, this great example of democracy. I found it all so disappointing on so many levels that I actually have started pulling away from current affairs. I can't even watch politics at the moment. If I walk into a room and the news is on American politics right now. It's like it's turning me off in a way that I've never been turned off of any subject matter before. I can't watch it.
Alan, here's my final question for you for today. If the Trump company called you today and said, look, well, he's leaving the White House and we see your capabilities, help us change or revamp the Trump image a little. We want you to come on as part of the production team of The Apprentice because he's coming back. And they offer you the deal of a lifetime, would you?
Of course.
That's not you would? Really?
Yeah, why not? You're going to prove the person's image. He needs a good strategist. He might not be able to listen. But he does need someone that's going to strategize and fix his business.
So you'd go and work
Absolutely. Of course, why wouldn't I?
They'd have to pay you a lot of money, right?
Of course. What do you think? I'm coming for nothing. I want to look at that. I want to stay at the top of that tower. I want to live in the tower. It would be sweet.
Everybody has a price, yes.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you know what? It's a changing landscape, and he's gone. And and you know what I didn't like, and I know that we've got to leave, but please stop comparing, saying that this is what you expect in third world countries. Yeah, and I watch Fox News and I watch CNN sometimes simultaneously. But stop comparing, because we have never done that in South Africa. We haven't looted our parliament.
Our parliament was stormed just last year by the EFF. What are you talking about? EFF get into fist fights inside the parliament chamber. Don't tell me.
That's political parties. Not
it's embarrassing.
People from the streets have not walked in a march and smashed our buildings. Come on. Stop doing that.
Frankly, I'd rather see the politicians fighting among themselves and punching each other in the head, which is a good point. But I think that the ordinary citizens own those buildings. And as much as I think that incursion that we saw into the Capitol last week is revolting, I do also think that politicians operate in this world where they think that they're actually better than the rest of us and that they don't have to be answerable to us. And I think it put a little bit of the fear of God into some politicians, which is not a bad thing, even if those rioters were completely reprehensible human beings.
Gareth Jenny says, my blood is boiling with his comments, obviously my comments. Well, Jenny, take a chill pill. You don't live in America, hun. Relax.
You don't know. She might be listening to us from America. Shared this. This is quite funny. Donald Trump has been praised by a number of people for accepting the election results 4 years quicker than Hillary Clinton did. That is a good point. Hillary has still not accepted the election from 4 years ago, and she lost. So maybe
what happened?
Yeah, let's just think about that. All right, everybody, have a happy day. That's all we got time for today. Al, nice
we'll
to see you
soon. We'll see you soon. Yeah,
cool. Be good, Alan Ford and C.S. Angweni and me and you, and we will see you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Don't miss the Burning Platform tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.